At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a great weekend. I was teasing Debbie this morning. I said, I think I have mono because for the last couple of days, I've had trouble getting out of bed. But just a little joke there for Debbie and me. I don't think I have mono, but I did sleep well. And so praise the Lord for that. You know, sometimes as you get older, the scripture even says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that it's harder to sleep, that you awaken, you know, at the first sound of any kind of noise of the birds or anything like that. So I hope your week is starting out strong. Lots of things happened over the weekend, and I was thinking about what to hit on today. You know, we're devastated by the storms and the people that have lost their houses and their lives and all the terrible things that happened with the wind and the fires and the tornadoes. And so we pray for those people. We don't understand those things. We know that God is over it all. God doesn't cause those things per se. Job chapter 1 lets us know that. The Lord sets up a hedge of protection. He did around Job and his family. And then when the devil, said to God, the only reason Job serves you, God, is because you're his sugar daddy. You take away the sugar and he'll curse you to your face. And so the challenge was on, and God says, okay, everything he has is in your power, only do not touch his life. And the devil took everything from Job, everything that he could. He went as far as he could. So God is over it all. The devil can't get to you unless God allows it. I told a friend yesterday, I said, listen, you need to understand that nothing comes into your life that doesn't first filter through God's fingers of love. We may not understand why things happen the way they do, but that's okay because he understands it. And his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we just we yield to him and say, all right, Lord, doesn't make sense to me, but as long as it makes sense to you, I choose to trust you. Well, I want to talk today about tearing down altars. Tearing down altars of idolatry. Judges chapter 6, the Lord comes to Gideon. Gideon is an unlikely judge, and God's people are under the thumb of the Midianites, and God taps Gideon. And if you remember the story with Gideon, he says, the Lord comes to him and says, hail, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, who are you talking to? I'm not a mighty man of valor. I'm the least in my father's house, and I'm chicken little. I'm not a strong man, a mighty man. And how am I going to do these things? You want me to deliver Israel from the hand of Midian? And he just doesn't understand. How shall I deliver them? He says, behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. I'm the runt of the litter. But the Lord says, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. And so God commissions him to go, and Gideon is scared. He feels the fear and does it anyway. And Gideon has if you study his life, he has a really good beginning to his life, a great, great victory that the Lord gives him and the people of Israel, and he judged Israel. But he didn't have a good ending to his life. And he kind of compromised toward the end of his life, compromised with sin, and didn't finish well. We want to finish well. But when God commissions him to go and deliver Israel, I'll be with you, and literally he wears Gideon as a suit of clothes, the scripture says. He gives him an assignment, and you know, you gotta crawl before you can walk. And so he gives him an assignment to crawl, just a small assignment. It says in verse 25 of Judges chapter 6, "Now on the same night the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it,'" that's the female consort of Baal, "'and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down.' Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night." But I made a note in my Bible that says, but he still did it. Even though he was afraid, he did it. He felt the fear and did it anyway. And here's what I want you to consider, and this is kind of the thrust of the program today. "When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah, which was beside it, was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar, which had been built. They said to one another, 'Who did this thing?' And when they searched about and inquired, they said, 'Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing.' Then the men of the city said to Joash," Gideon's dad, "'bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it.'" So Gideon is obeying the voice of the Lord. He is bringing about reform and turning Israel from their idolatrous ways to back to Jehovah God, Yahweh God. And the people don't like it. The people are mad. The people want to kill him. The man that's doing the will of God to return Israel back to the worship of the true God. You know, the Lord had told him, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." And here they are, some hundreds of years later, in the land of promise, and they're worshiping Baal. And so he's trying to do a good thing. He's trying to deliver them from idolatry, which is one of the chief sins in the Bible. And they want to kill him for it. And so I was thinking, what does that sound like today? Well, it sounds like, and I'm not trying to paint Donald Trump or Elon Musk or anybody in the Trump administration as God has spoken to him and he's Gideon. But as Charlie Kirk has said, and how do you disagree with it? God spared Trump's life for a purpose. I mean, if you don't see that God was over all of the activities and the deliverance that happened in Butler, Pennsylvania, on the campaign trail, where Trump turned his head just at the precise time, and the bullet that would have blown his brains out nicked his ear instead. That was God's divine protection over him. And I'm praying for Donald Trump that he had come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that God would change his life from the inside out. But I believe that Trump and Elon Musk, I believe they love America. I believe they're trying to do good for the country. I believe they're trying to tear down these altars of idolatry that America has built up. And sadly, those altars tend to be primarily in the camp of the Democrats. And the Democrats don't like it. And they want to, they want to go on television, and they want to work through their resources and through their tentacles and say, we need to destroy these people who are destroying our idols, who are tearing down our idols. Because here's the deal. If you don't worship God and the true God, you're going to worship something. We were created with a desire to worship. You're going to worship a false god. So many people worship money. So many people worship power. People in government tend to worship both money and power. Money, sex, and power, the three big ones. They're infested with all those. But it's power. And power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, as the saying goes. And they worship money. And we who know the Lord, well, we worship God. And we want to have a heart for God. Now, it's a battle in the Christian life to keep your heart pure, to not do what the church in Ephesus did, where the Lord says, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You need to get back on fire for me. And so every day is an opportunity for us to just yield ourselves anew and afresh to the Lord. But we know who God is. And we know that our God is not money. Our God is not power. Our God is not some high position. Our God is God. And so in elections, you see the difference in elections. So in the 2020 election, well, the candidate on the left beat the candidate on the right. And the people on the left rejoiced and the people on the right groaned. But we didn't burn anything down. We didn't have, these horrible, January 6th was terrible, obviously, and it was an entrapment, I believe. But people did things wrong. I mean, you can't deny that. They never should have done what they did. And even though you could make the case they were incited to do that, doesn't make it right. What they did on January 6th was wrong, and they paid the price for it. They were incarcerated. We had that J6er on the program a couple of month or so ago. And he got 20 years in prison for it. And Trump pardoned him, but he did over 2 years in prison for his crimes. And nobody really got hurt in his crime. But at any rate, we see a big difference between what the left does when their candidate doesn't win and what the right does. And Trump told us, hey, when I get elected, he didn't say it quite in these terms, but I'm going to tear down these altars. And we're going to go through, and here's my guy, Elon Musk, and we're going to go through all the spending. And if we find waste, abuse, fraud, corruption, we're going to expose it, and we're going to fix it. Well, that's like tearing down the altar of Baal. We could make the case that that's similar to what Gideon did in terms of irritating people, making people mad. And it's not just a minor irritation. The people in Gideon's city wanted to kill him because of what he did. How dare he do that? And don't you know that there are people in the country that want to kill Donald Trump? Now, they may not personally want to do that, but they would love to see somebody do it. I've watched the videos that have been posted on social media. Hey, somebody says it's time for somebody to take one for the team and to take him out. And not only Donald Trump, but now Elon Musk. They hate him, too. I find it interesting that, Elon Musk, the guy that is working for free for America to expose the graft and corruption and waste, with the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, that people are squawking about that. But he understands, hey, I'm over the target, because that's why they're squawking. I'm tearing down their altar of idolatry because they worship money and they worship power, and both of those things are attached to these government agencies. And as someone well said, you just follow the money and you see what's happening with the money. And so I was reading today where it says an Oregon Tesla dealership was shot up this month, damaging multiple cars and shattering windows. A second Oregon Tesla dealership was damaged after a man threw a Molotov cocktail at the business. In Massachusetts, several Tesla charging stations were set on fire. Says the events come amid a string of apparent protests against Musk and Doge. Indivisible, an organization founded by former Democratic congressional staffers, previously urged liberals to protest Musk's actions, going so far as providing a, quote, toolkit, unquote, with recommendations on how to take the fight to Elon. Well, the manual provides steps for planning and executing demonstrations at Tesla dealerships, showrooms, and factories. Isn't it interesting? You have that taking place on the left, and what do you have Elon Musk doing? Well, he's running SpaceX and sending a rocket into space to save two astronauts left behind by the Biden administration. Such a contrast. As I was driving in today, I thought about how you have two-year-olds throwing a tantrum and breaking things, and then you have the adults doing what they can to save people's lives. It shows you the difference. CNN did a poll and found that the Democrats have the worst favorability rating that they've ever had, something like 29%. Well, yeah, because when all you're doing is throwing a tantrum and calling people names, and you have no plan, no program, nothing. It's just destruction, and we didn't get our way, so we're going to throw a fit. That doesn't play well with the American people. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're up against a break, but we'll come back with more as we talk about tearing down the altars.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about tearing down the altars. Judges chapter 6, that was the first thing the Lord told Gideon to do as a tune-up, a warm-up for going after the Midianites. And Gideon was, he was reluctant, he was fearful, but he did what the Lord told him to do. And a great example for you and me, because many of us feel so inadequate. Gideon knew he was inadequate. It's okay to feel inadequate. You know, as Moses said to the Lord at the burning bush, you're going to deliver Israel. Well, who am I that I should deliver Israel? Well, it doesn't matter who you are. What matters is who God is. And if God is going to fill you and use you, you can do great and mighty things, which we don't know, because as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so whatever he asks you to do, you can do it, not by your strength, but by his strength. And so remember John chapter 11, the Lord said to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, roll away the stone. Well, she didn't want to do it. She said, Lord, he's been in there 4 days. He stinks. We don't want to do this. And he said, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God, roll away the stone. And she had the stone rolled away. And the statement that I heard years ago that rings in my head on a regular basis, God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. So Jesus wasn't going to roll away the stone, because she could do that. She could get the guys to do that. He wasn't going to do that. She had to do that. That was her step of faith. And you cannot do what he can do. You can't say, Lazarus, come forth, and he comes forth, but Jesus can do that. So in any kind of miracle, there is your step of faith, and there is God's response to that faith. And so Gideon tore down the altars that were in his city, and the people wanted to kill him for it. They were so upset. Why? You messed with our God. Starting a new series this Sunday at First Baptist Church in Texarcana, Texas, and it's called God and Money, and it has to do with people's attitude toward money. And the sad reality is so many people worship money. And what we're seeing, I believe, you can have a different opinion, I'm not always right, but what I believe is the reason people are getting so upset on the left at the Department of Government Efficiency exposing graft and corruption and waste and abuse. I mean, it doesn't make sense that anybody would be upset about that, unless that's your God, that's your honeypot, and hey, you are making money off of that. I ran across an interview with Harriet Hageman, who is a congressman from Wyoming. She was talking about the Department of Education. And she said, this is what's taking place that the left doesn't want you to know.
So is the DOGE program targeted at these bureaucrats?
Yes.
And so what can you expect?
Well, let's look at the Department of Education. The Federal Department of Education has a budget of about $280 billion a year. Less than 25% goes to educating our students. So where does the other $220 billion go? It goes to a bureaucracy. It goes to a consultant. And that consultant then donates money back to the Democrats. And then it goes to a different consultant. And then it goes to an NGO. I mean, it is money laundering and money churning at its absolute best. And you can look at almost every single agency and you will find it. So the brilliance of DOGE isn't that he's going in and cutting spending. He doesn't have the authority to do that. We're the ones that have the authority to do that. What I want him to do is come up with a report, go through agency by agency by agency, identify every single program that we should not be funding, put a number attached to it. We slap a preamble on the front of that report, and we say that every single agency is having their budget cut by X amount, as shown in the attached report, and none of those programs can go forward from here on out.
And this is why Democrats are losing their minds over Elon Musk. It's all about money.
Not one Democrat in America voted for Elon Musk.
That's Elizabeth Warren.
Elon Musk is seizing the power that belongs to the American people. We are here to fight back.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. God bless Representative Harriet Hageman from Wyoming. God bless you and your family. Catch you on the next one.
So that was Congresswoman Harriet Hageman, the congresswoman from Wyoming, and she's detailing, hey, there's corruption here, and the reason people are getting so mad at Doge is because you're tearing down this altar that they worship money and power, and these agencies, and we're finding out how many of them are like this, they're funneling money back to the Democrat Party. Well, that's wrong with a capital W. That's just evil. That's just sick and sinister and criminal. And those people ought to be held accountable for that. Well, you know, to the chagrin of those on the left, especially the media outlets, CNN, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, they did a poll, a CNN poll, and it showed that the Democrats are polling favorably at the lowest percentage that they've ever seen before. Just to give you an example, favorable opinion, the Democrat Party in 2024, October 20th, 2024, they had a 39% favorable opinion among voters, among Americans. And in March 6th, they had a 29% favorable opinion. This is what they had to say on the news.
This is an NBC and CNN poll showing Democratic Party approval. Look at this. 27% positive, 55% negative. So to David's point, does Chuck Schumer survive, or are we going to see AOC in a primary?
Well, I'd love to know what the 27% are thinking.
So that was on Fox News when they were talking about it. Here's another program where they were talking about it.
I'm a big fan of the oldies. And when it comes to the feelings that Americans, voters at large and Democrats have, I can't help but think of Chubby Checker. Why is that? Because the question is, how low can you go? Voters' views of Democrats in Congress, the lowest ever approval ratings on record per Quinnipiac University. Look at this. Approve 21% among all voters. Look at the disapprove level. Holy Toledo, 68% of all voters disapprove of how Democrats are doing in Congress. Now, you might think that is low, and this is the lowest number on your screen here, down at 21%. But I want to bring you over here to how Democratic voters feel, because this is truly unbelievable. Amongst their own party, how do Democratic representatives, senators, how are they viewed? Get this, the plurality disapprove at 49%. More Democrats disapprove of the job that their party is doing in Congress than approve. Get this, only 40% approve. These are truly horrific numbers. They are in the trash bin of history. That is how low these approval ratings are. When you can't even get plurality approval among your own party, you know you're doing something wrong.
So you know you're doing something wrong. And really, if you think about it, it's kind of like the question that Charlie Kirk would ask when he'd go on these college campuses. And he'd ask about Kamala Harris. And he said, what is her greatest achievement? And, you know, you stun the supporter with that, because it's like, well, I mean, she's risen in the ranks. Yeah, but what has she accomplished? Well, She's a woman in politics. Yeah, that's not a real big accomplishment. You know, it's a big contrast when Hillary Clinton ran for president. You know, you can say what you want about Hillary Clinton. One of the things you can't say about her is she's not very smart. Hillary Clinton is smart. Now, has dumb ideas, but she's not an idiot. She can form a sentence well. She can answer questions. And she used to have an opinion about illegal immigration that was very much in line with Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump believes that you need to get illegal immigrants, especially those committing crimes, you need to get them out of the country. Well, here's a clip I ran across today of Hillary Clinton in 2008. Just to show you how much the party, the Democrat Party, has moved to the left on where they were just in 2008. Here's what Hillary Clinton said concerning illegal immigration.
So I think we got to have tough conditions. Tell people to come out of the shadows. If they've committed a crime, deport them. No questions asked. They're gone. If they've been working and are law-abiding, we should say, here are the conditions for you staying. You have to pay a stiff fine because you came here illegally. You have to pay back taxes. And you have to try to learn English. And you have to wait in line.
Now, that seems radical for today. And you can't hold that that position and be a Democrat in today's world, it seems. I mean, maybe some are, but they're going to be quiet about that because that's not going to be the popular position on the left. But that's what she was saying, and people were screaming and yelling, yes, yes. That was their attitude in 2008. Now, as you heard at the top of the hour for AFN News, 261 violent gang members were deported to El Salvador, and the Democrats worked to try and get that reversed through a liberal judge, an Obama-appointed judge. I mean, it's just mind-blowing, and no wonder you have a low approval rating. What American wants to have violent gang members that are illegally here to stay here? Send them back to where the country that they came from, and El Salvador is putting them to work in some kind of incarceration situation. You know, prisons in America used to be, when I worked for Nalco Chemical Company, I called on the prison system, and in Texas, the prisons used to make money because they would put those guys to work, and they would farm, and they would do other things, and they would build things and sell things, and seems to me that that's a better use of a person's time than to just lock them in a cell. And if you can use their labor, hey, you know, you do hard time, you pay your dues, so to speak, to the state in which you committed a crime. Well, that makes sense to me. And the state benefits from that. And it's not just this drain. You know, you kind of earn your keep, your room and board, so to speak. But that is what's going on, in my opinion, of our country. And that's why people are freaking out, because Trump is bringing about reform. Now, it's not a spiritual situation as Gideon was doing, but it is attacking the idols, because so many people worship money, so many people worship power, and he's tearing down those idols that have been these strongholds of corruption and filtering money into the Democrats. And just like Elon Musk said, you know you're over the target when you're getting that much pushback, when it becomes violent, because people lose their minds when you start messing with their God. And if your God is money, if your God is power, then you have a pitiful God. That God can't deliver. Money doesn't deliver in the day of wrath. Riches can't deliver. And your power is meaningless when God shows up and when God lays down the law, so to speak. And so it just shows us that people in our country, right or left, if your hope is not in the Lord, your hope is on sinking sand. As we sing that song, all other ground is sinking sand. And either you're standing on the rock and you're building your house on the rock and you're doing what Jesus says, or you're building your house on the sand and the rains are going to descend and the floods are going to are going to come. They come to both houses, Matthew chapter 7. But the house on the rock will stand, and the house on the sand will be swept away. And so you and I have a choice. How are we going to build? And as we think about tearing down altars, we look inside and we say, okay, have I set up an altar to a false god in my life? Because, hey, the love of money, I mean, it's not just for those who are godless. As a Christian, you can start loving money. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. So you can't let the love of money get into your heart. We all need money to live. And when we're blessed financially, we praise the Lord. But you can't put your hope in money. As Solomon, who had more money than anybody, said, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money. It's not going to work. And you won't be satisfied with power either. But where you can find your satisfaction is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as I've said repeatedly on the program, we need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for Elon Musk. We need to be praying as they come back from space. They're supposed to, I forget how many hours, 17, 18 hours, something like that, to come back from the space station to bring those astronauts back. It's gone well so far. We need to pray that it continues to go well and those people are safely back on American soil. But it's mind-blowing how Elon Musk and SpaceX have come up with this Falcon 9 rocket that has gone into space and did all these things and is bringing back the stranded astronauts that have been there for a long, long time. Well, you hear the music, and so that means we are up against a break. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. I have a friend of mine that listens to the program, and he says, you know, Jeff, I always like it when people call in. I like to hear what the questions people have, and I love to hear when those brief testimonies come. So give me a call, 888-589-8840, and we will talk. So we'll be right back after the break. As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, Preborn is putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue all of them. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all those precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire preborn week for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. So please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are opening the phone lines to take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, or a brief testimony, we'd love to hear from you. We've been talking about tearing down the idols, And one of the things that I see Donald Trump doing, it's what he campaigned on, was he was going to tear down these idols of, you know, the idols where we worship power, where we worship money, and in government. Things are corrupt in government, and I don't think that anyone tries to make the case that you don't have potential for corruption with as much money as we pour into our government. That's not a good thing, because people do have trouble with putting their hand in the cookie jar and getting around the system. And so DOGE is uncovering a lot of that, and people are getting upset. And just like in Judges chapter 6, when the Lord told Gideon to tear down the altar that was in his city, when he did that, he did it at night because he was afraid. And when he did it, the men of the city woke up the next morning and they were upset and wanted Gideon to die for his crimes. We see that in today's world. You mess with my God, you mess with my idol. What is your God? Money and power. You mess with that, we're going to come after you. So we are going to take your calls, and the phone lines are lighting up. So let's start with Mark from Kentucky. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, man, I just so appreciate your program.
Thanks, brother.
Your approach, your style. It's fantastic. I really do, because the what has become, I believe, the institution of the church in America, as opposed to plain and simply those who choose to not only follow but yield themselves, bow before the Savior of the world, but to make Him their Lord and Savior, the master of their lives, right? The ones that we're bond servants, right? We want to do what He calls us to do. Right. And I think it's amazing to watch what's going on. And my question to you, sir, who I think is outside of that, I will call it the religious institution, the cemeteries, you know, seminaries, all of that. You seem to have a real a finger on the pulse of what's really actually going on in the world, and pointing out, helping us to see the kinds of things, as you said, with Elon Musk and what's going on, because I pray for him. I lift him up. It would be amazing to watch him become a follower of Jesus.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yes.
Right? But he is doing great, mighty things with a small M, right? I mean, these are right. Interesting things to watch and observe, but what are we to do as followers of Jesus amidst a church in America that has, what's the guy that wrote the book, Letter to the American Church?
Eric Metaxas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric Metaxas. So you know what I'm talking about, sir, and I
right.
really appreciate you taking my call, and I would love for you to expound upon that as we, as the followers of Jesus, what are we to do when people suit up, show up at those buildings every Sunday, but yet we've got the playing field. We've got to step up.
Right.
And do what God followed through, where God gave us back the playing field. It's up to us to save America, is it not?
Yes. And I appreciate the call, Mark. I appreciate your kind comments. You're exactly right. So at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, which just took place a couple of weeks ago in the Dallas area, you know, that was kind of the theme of the conference. It was, hey, we've seen an answer to prayer in the candidate that was much more conservative got elected versus the candidate which is much more liberal. And the candidate that wants to restore law and order, that wants to restore a one-tier justice system and put the blindfold back on Lady Liberty, or Lady Justice, I'm sorry, and bring about good reforms in America and promote America, do America first, which makes sense. You're the president of the United States of America, that you would be looking out for the benefit of your citizens over anybody else. You know, Trump is not good on abortion, which is a sad situation, but Trump is... you know, the good thing about Trump is Trump listens. Trump is winnable. He is somebody that likes Christians, and he surrounds himself with lots of Christians, and so he's got people that will speak into his life. So we need to pray, Mark. We need to stand up, speak up. We need to get involved in local things. I think that's, yes, I've talked to different ones, interviewed Eric Metaxas before on the program, and Bill Federer and others. So we say, okay, you know, Bill Federer just wrote the book, Silence Equals Consent, and we need to stand up and speak up. And he says, you know, how do people get involved? Well, they get involved locally. And so we kind of tend to think of things in a nationalistic approach, but things start grassroots. And the way people can make a difference is get involved in the school board, get involved with local elections, find out what people believe. Hey, maybe God is calling you to run for the school board or to run for a local position. You know, you, as we get involved and we say, well, we're gonna you know, promote godly values on the system. You know, if Christians all retreat and say, well, that's of the world, we're not going to get involved here, well, then who's left? You just have unbelievers that are running the show, and that's not good. So Christians need to be involved. And God hasn't called everybody to be, you know, run for mayor or run for city council or run for school board, but he's called some to do that. And he's called for all of us to know what's going on and to stand up and speak up. And we've seen the video of all these different parents that have come to these school board meetings, and they've had enough. As I said on Friday, the old expression in Texas some years ago from Eddie Childs and the bumper sticker that went out, I'm mad too, Eddie. And it's good to be mad about things that the Lord gets mad about, and to have righteous indignation over books in the you know, grade school libraries that are promoting sexual immorality and homosexuality and all these perversions. And it's like, what place does that have in a public school system? Absolutely nothing, none. It should be taken out of there so fast that it would make your head spin. And for anybody to try and advocate for that or defend that makes absolutely no sense. So I would say, Mark, that we pray. You know, you can do more than pray after you pray, but you can't do more than pray before you pray. And so we need to pray. And exactly what you said, we need to pray for Donald Trump, for his heart, that God would open his eyes to the truth of who Jesus is. You know, he says some things where you think you're not far from the kingdom. But as far as just humbling himself and seeing himself as a sinner before God and crying out to Jesus for salvation, he needs that. Elon Musk needs that. Others in his cabinet need that. And so we pray for that, because that's the ultimate. I don't care what happens in America 1,000 years from now or 100 years from now. All those people, all those players are dead, and they're either in heaven or in hell. And so your soul is worth more than all of that. But as we pray and as we stand up and as we shine, as we share on social media with our friends, you know, not obnoxiously, you're not poking everybody in the eye, but you're standing up for truth. And people respond to that. And so that would be my comment, Mark. And I want more pastors, especially as a pastor. I want fellow pastors to say, hey, I'm going to stand up on these issues. And some guys are afraid. They're all, you get too political. Listen, politics and morality have crisscrossed in many different arenas. We need to stand up for the truth as it relates to sexual perversion, as it relates to the issues of Romans chapter 1. You know, that's all into politics now. Transgenderism and the LGBTQIA plus agenda. That's gotten into, obviously, into politics, which is talked about in Scripture as far as morality goes, as far as sanity goes, as far as what is true and real and right versus what is just make-believe. And we need to stand up and speak up for that. And we need to let our people know, hey, this is true and this is false, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And if they're not going to hear the truth at church, and if they don't hear how the Bible applies to everyday life and to the issues of the day that everybody's talking about, they think that the Bible is just, you know, that's just for way back when. But the Bible is as fresh as this morning's newspaper. And every day when you wake up, it's boom, the Scripture speaks, and God speaks, and God knows what's going on. And he's not the As some have postulated, he's like the divine watchmaker. He makes this watch and winds it up, and then he goes fishing. No, God is intimately acquainted with all our ways, and he is over all things. And so we trust him. We look to him. We know, as it says in Psalm 29, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. So I appreciate the call, Mark. God bless you, my brother. Thanks for your encouragement to me. We have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Appreciate you taking my call, brother.
Yes, sir.
I called in and left you a message there Friday. I think it's Brother Charles Stanley said one time, about, you mentioned a certain name of ended in the Obama, so I kind of blew a gasket there. So, you know, he said halt. So if you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, just halt. So I left you a message instead. We're talking about the corruption and the you know, Greek for power and stuff there in Washington. I think it was Cory Booker I seen the other day, the minority leader, where he had kind of, you know, been there, 9-10 years, and had a little over 100,000, a couple hundred thousand, and now he's worth almost $20 million.
Right.
Well, how is that, brother? And that's kind of, like I said, I just tapped the brakes Friday, but you're doing a great job. We love you guys, and we just got to stand up as Christians and onward, Christian soldier, as the song goes. We got to keep. We know who puts their hand to the plow and looks back. We can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, can we? So we just got to take her one day at a time. We love you guys, and I'll hang up and listen.
Hey,
take
thanks,
care, brother.
Greg. Thank you. I appreciate it. And just to let all our listeners know, you know, this is not, we're not trying to say that, you know, everybody that's on the right is good and everybody that's on the left is bad. I'm not saying that at all. Nobody is immune to falling into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. We're not immune to the love of money getting into our hearts, even believers. We're not immune to worshiping a false god. And, as when Elijah went before the people in 1 Kings chapter 18, he said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, fear him. If Baal is God, serve him and fear him. And the people answered him not a word. They wanted to ride the fence. And so we need to be careful. The devil owns the fence. We can't ride the fence. We have to be all in for Jesus, and we have to do a consistent heart check. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful, evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a daily prayer for the believer, to make sure our hearts are right, to make sure we haven't drifted away from our first love, and that Jesus is number one, and we're standing up for the truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth, and we need to stand up for the truth, graciously stand up for the truth. Well, we have one more caller, Linda from Oklahoma. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, my name's Linda. I'm so glad to be able to call and talk to you this morning. This mic can help other people that be in storms. We had a storm in 2022 in Lawton, Oklahoma. I had no idea that storm was coming. I was in my house, and all of a sudden the wind rised up to 85 miles an hour. My door started slamming. My front door was kind of slamming a little, and in my hallway where my air conditioned door was slamming a little. It was slamming, and I stood and I spoke to that storm. Just like Jesus stood up in that boat and spoke to that storm.
All right. Well, the Lord is faithful to answer our prayers. We're definitely not Jesus, but we can call out to Jesus as Peter did when he was on the stormy sea and began to sink, and he cried out and he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and said, oh, ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? You're doing so well. Keep your eyes on me. And that's the lesson. And Linda, I appreciate you calling in today with that. Just an encouragement. If you're going through a storm today, as we've seen the physical storms, but you might be going through an emotional storm, a financial storm, a relational storm in your life, Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of faith. He will see you through. I saw a dear friend, Donita Barber, she had on her Facebook page today. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went into the fiery furnace. God didn't deliver them from the fiery furnace. He delivered them in the fiery furnace as he sent himself. The Son of God was in there, as Nebuchadnezzar said. Were there not three men we put in the fire? And they said, certainly, O king. And he said, but I see four men loosed and walking about, and one is like the Son of God. Jesus was in their fiery furnace and delivered them. He'll be in your fiery furnace. Trust him no matter what. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, or connect with me on X at Jeff, J-E-F-F, Shreve, S-C-H-R-E-V-E. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.